Oh, how he loves us, just the way we are. How many of you tonight have ever looked in that mirror and tried to describe yourself? And what would you say? If they was a sketch artist up here, how would you describe yourself? Well, I know none of you are going to do it, so I thought, well, I'm going to go first tonight. I'm going to describe how I see myself tonight. I'm 5'3", kind of in between the petite and Mrs., if whatever petite means. So that means I'm always walking on my pant legs. And these are capris. You can see they're almost pants. So I see myself as just like short. I look at myself, I'm dark complected. I have Cherokee Indian. Liam used to call me when he was little, and if you have kids, you'll know. He used to watch Little Bill all the time, and he always compared me. He'd say, "Are you Little Bill's family?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I guess I am." You can laugh if you know who Little Bill is. I have a square face. It's the Wickersham face, my dad's side of the family. All of our faces are square, you know, like SpongeBob square face. Hazel eyes. I hate my eyes. Can only wear one thing of eyeshadow because my eyebrows almost touch the bottom of my eyes, so what's the use? Eyebrows, I won't even go there. You'll never see me pencil them in, ladies. Lips, I don't have any. What happens when you get 60 years old and your lips are gone? Is anybody in here 60 years old? Is your lips gone, Felicia? Our lips disappear, so we don't live without lip liner. My hair is thin. My body, chubby. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But if I was to describe myself, this is what I see in the mirror every day. I struggle every day. So I got thinking, if that sketch artist would have drew me, he would probably drew something like this. Because this is how I see myself. So every day when I look in the mirror, there I am. So then when I thought, well, I'm going to ask someone else. And who else do you ask? Your husband. And I thought, how do you see me? How do you really see me? And if you was to describe, and this is what he came up with. Woo! Doesn't he wish? But that's what we struggle with every day of our life. We're so hard on ourselves and our self-image. We're never happy with ourselves. We're always trying to change ourselves and be better, and there's nothing wrong with that, because there's a lot of us who need to change as far as being healthy. But we're always being told by the TV, the movies, the magazines, unless you're a size 2, unless you're that big around and you have hair like Cindy Crawford and you have a face to match, that you're just ordinary. You're so ordinary that I have a Wii Fitness game, and you can tell I don't use it that much, but Jay does it with me sometimes, not to lose weight, but she just likes playing the games. And when you put your profile in, it said to her that she was overweight. Of course, I won't even tell you what they said I was. I was obese. But that's what is talking to us. This is the voice we hear. We beat ourselves up trying to be different. And we're so hard on ourselves, just like those women. We are so. So who are you seeing when you look into the mirror? Are you seeing God's image, or are you seeing the world's image? When are you seeing that ugly, sad person that maybe is not there all the time? Or are you seeing the image that God gave us? I was thinking about the other day how people perceive us and how we just accept anything that anybody says or does anything. I remember I was at Walmart not too long ago, and I was standing in the aisle, and this lady kept looking at me as she's checking my groceries out and looking at me and looking at me. And finally she said, "I know you." And I thought, okay. She said, "I remember you in high school." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "You were in a trio and you sang." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "You haven't changed a bit." And I'm just smiling and, you know, walking through that store. Okay, here's another grocery. I'll have to buy some more stuff. But the words, it made me feel good. what was so bad is I didn't remember her, and I don't even remember where I've ever seen her again. But we need to accept and realize that God made us just the way we are, and we need to focus on the important things in life. I read somewhere it says acceptance means honoring and loving yourself just the way you are, making peace with yourself. Because whatever you focus on and whatever you think is so bad about yourself, whatever becomes your main attention in life, that seems to grow. Like I'm obsessed with my weight. I'm constantly reminding you that I'm chubby. You know, when I go shopping, I'm always thinking, this is always across. So I'm obsessed, and if I'm obsessed with this and I'm always throwing it out, you're all gonna look, yeah, she's chubby. Because I'm always talking about it. And if you always see the negative, you'll never look past to the positive. We need to start loving ourselves more. I'm not talking about that stuck-up, prideful love, but I'm talking about just loving us and appreciating it, who we really are, that God made us, and He loves us just the way we are. I read somewhere that sometimes we just need to sit down and write ourselves a love letter, as silly as that sounds, but to remind yourself of all the qualities and the things and the successes and where you've been and what you've done. And sometimes we just need to do that sometimes. You just sit down and think, God, you know, I'm not so bad. Look at this and look at that. And I found out that growing up that never compare yourself to anybody, because God likes variety, or He wouldn't have created us different. I love it when it says that everybody has different fingerprints. Nobody has the same fingerprints. And if you think about that, it just, you know, it just blows my mind to think that when God created us, he created us all with a different fingerprint. But what we have to understand is you just cannot compare yourself to other people. You have to be yourself, because people can spot a fake a mile away. So be yourself. Be happy with who you are in Christ. I think about starting out in the ministry, and most of you probably heard all these stories. I was so opposite of what a pastor's wife is supposed to be like, because we came into the ministry as youth pastors. We pastored a youth. So all I knew how to do is act like I always act when there's teenagers around me. I still act that way, and I can't get over that. So I came in as pastoring, and that's all I knew. So that's all I did. So every ladies' banquet and everything I did was a little over the top, a little crazy, a little different. You know, you never know, having a ladies' banquet, you'd come in and catch me as Dolly Parton. One time I came in as Elvis. It was kind of funny because I had my hair slicked back and everything, and I had my guitar over my shoulder. And there was some ladies that were visitors that came to the banquet, ladies' banquet. And I remember they walked up, and as they passed by me, they said, "Oh, are you going to sing for us tonight?" And I said, "Yes, I am, ma'am." But that's the things I've always did. You can ask them about how that night ended when the bras started flying up while I was singing. We'll talk about that later. But I was always getting in trouble. No matter what I did, I always got in trouble, because that's just the way I was. And that was just me. I can remember going to a Church of God ladies retreat, and our ladies went to Indiana, and I forgot my underclothes, of all things. So we had to go into Indianapolis and buy me underclothes. And I took my whole group of ladies with me, and we're in a big conference anyway. And unbeknownst to me, they decided to do their own shopping for me. So they're buying thongs and underwear that are about like size 40. And they put it all in a little gift bag. And we're sitting in this cafeteria, and all the other churches and all the other church pastors' wives, and then they come up with, "We have a gift for Sister Trent." And of course, all the other, you know, pastors, and I was, "Oh, how sweet." You know, they love their pastor, and it's like, okay. And I put my hand down there, and I whoop, and there's these thongs and big underwear, and you know, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And then once I was one of the speakers in North Carolina at the Old Heritage. I don't know if you guys, probably too young to remember that. And I remember we went, and we just had so much fun, and the whole conference was built around, at that time in the 90s, about how to fight off demonic spirits, how spirits come into your city and they hover over your town and so forth and so on. And my topic, of course, was how to take care of it and how to pray against spirits that take over a town. It was all based on that. And I remember we were at the Heritage, and we're all in there, and group of us ladies in one room and a group in another room, and the speaker that night had talked about demonic powers and all this stuff, and there was a lot of new ladies who weren't used to that, and they were all talking, they were all kind of, you know, freaking out and everything. And all of a sudden I thought, man, let's do something crazy. So we're in one room, and outside was the balcony, but it was a rock balcony, and in order to get to the other room without going outside, you had to climb over the rock wall and then climb over their rock wall to get in their room. So they said, we need, and it's like, okay, I'll do it. I can't remember, but I think I disguised myself and dressed all crazy, and they're helping me climb over this rock wall. I couldn't get over, we got a chair, and then I couldn't get over the other wall, so I finally got over it, and I'm crawling down, and I'm scratching on the glass, and you know how that ends. They're all screaming and yelling, and it was a crazy night. That's just how I am. And the next day, I remember, you know, I was one of the speakers, and I remember the head speaker lady come to me, and they're, you know, it's North Carolina, they're all Southern, and she comes up to me, she says, Sister Trent, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. And she said, you know, there was a lot of commotion last night. I don't know whose room it was, but we as speakers, we need to get our rest. We need to be praying at night, and we need, you know, and she's going on and on and on. And I'm sitting there, yes, yes, you know. And she's just saying, so if, you know, if you see your, if it's any, you see any of this, you know, let me know. And I said, yes, yes, where's the anointing oil? I'm going to my room right now. And every one of them, if they were a part of this, you know, I'm going, yes, sister. And I say, okay, thank you. And I'm going, oh my God, they seen me. I know, they seen me. They know it's me. But that's the kind of things that if you hang out with me, that's the kind of things you do. That's just the way I am, and I've always been. And it was okay. And I never compared myself. I never tried to be like anybody else. I don't think I could ever do, but as it came around, it all crashed down on me one day, and there was a church that split, and a whole bunch of people came from that church, and they were a little bit different. They didn't like me so well. They didn't think I was so funny. They didn't think I was so holy. They even told me I was. They told me I didn't act the way I should be acting, that I'm not a good pastor's wife, that their pastor's wife, which I don't know why they left, that they're saying it's got up every morning at 4 o'clock and prayed on her knees till 7 o'clock. And it was like, okay, that's okay, you know, that's fine. I once said, I said I liked oldies, and they walked out on me on my Sunday school class. So it just got worse and worse and worse, and then I started comparing myself. And I thought, wow, maybe I am sort of funny acting. Maybe I'm not who I should be. Maybe I should be a little bit more serious. Forget the 4 hours down my knees. Oh God, I shouldn't have said that. He'll put me on my knees tomorrow. And I began to compare myself. And it took me years and years and years to get back. And it was hard. Because I went inside myself and I didn't laugh. Not in public anyway. I tried to act like everybody wanted me to act. I tried to be, and I still got ridiculed, and I still got talked about until they all decided to go somewhere else and bless that church. But you can't compare yourself. Don't ever try to compare yourself to someone else. I read that T.D. Jakes said, it's a slap in God's face to look at someone else and say, I wish I were more like her. Why? Because God designed you just the way he wanted you to be. He made you for himself. He made you in a way that can never be duplicated. When you begin to compare yourself with other people, you're saying, God, you made me a mistake. You failed, and you could have done a better job creating me. because he looks at his creation and says to himself, it is good. So I am who I am. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to enjoy the journey. I may not look the part, and I may shock a few people at times, but he made me the way I am, and I am God's creation. And far as my looks, I've come to the conclusion there's no quick fixes. If there was, I would have them. Every time that commercial comes on TV with the facelift thing, I'm thinking, how much does that cost? Even, you know, okay, let's see how I'd look. That's a lot cheaper, girls. So they make you, try to make you think that they have the answers to everything, but they forget to tell you all the consequences. It's so funny on TV when you hear, take this pill and, but here's the dreaded side effects. Use this cream and, but they don't tell you the side effects. You know, this will take your wrinkles away. Take this and you'll lose 25 pounds overnight. Your cellulite will be all gone, but it's the dreaded side effects. They never tell you the stupid stuff like, while you take this pill, do not drink any water for 5 days, or unless you have depends, or possible hair growth on your face and back, which could be transferred during touching. That'll stop all the church huggers. And do not go outside during a full moon. And whatever you do, and it's like, are you kidding me? Just let me be sick and fat and chubby. So this is the kind of world that we live in. We live in a world so full of voices that shout, you're ugly, you're fat, you're worthless, you're no good. Nobody will ever have you. Nobody will ever look at you. Look at all the mistakes you made. And this is the voices that we hear in our head over and over and over. Because not only do we struggle with that outside image, we struggle with that inside of us, that mental image of ourselves, that self inside that eats at us and rips away at us that nobody sees. But I always heard this once. It said, never ever allow someone else's opinions to creep into your inner person. Never allow a person's view of you control the way you see yourself. Because that's too much power to give to another human being. And recognize that those who reject you have no ability to see inside of you. Once again, never allow someone else's opinion, unless it's something that's going to help you, to creep inside of you and control you, because no human being should have that much power over you. Because they can't never, and they never will, see that's what's inside of you. That's why women keep making mistakes over and over and over. That's why they feel like they can't do any better in life, can't have anything better in life. That's why young girls wind up in destructive relationships, because they think they can't do any better. It's my fault. You know, they settle. We settle so much. You settle for this. How many times in the ministry have women came and said, my husband's abusive or this or that, and they get out of that relationship, and what do they do next? Find someone just like, identical to what they just got out of. Because we settle for the worst, and we don't think we're good enough, and we don't think we deserve any better. And you'll find out that people who have been treated hatefully become full of hate and only give hate. This is the voices that you're hearing. People who have been criticized become filled with a critical spirit, and they can only give criticism. And people who are bitter and angry can only give anger and bitterness. So those voices that you're hearing from all these other people and all these other opinions probably have went through things where they're holding inside and they can't get over it, and they're gonna lash out on you. So never settle for nothing. Never settle that you're not good enough. Never allow someone to tell you you'll never make it. I like the Message Bible. Psalms 139 says, "Oh yes, you shaped me first inside and then out. You formed me in my mother's womb, and I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation." That's your love letter. "You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth, and all the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day." If that doesn't tell you that he wants you to live a victorious life, I love it when he says, I knew you before the foundations of the earth. I formed you. You were an open book. You all have an open book. He had everything planned out day by day for your life. He said, "I made you from nothing to something." So the next time someone says you'll never amount to nothing, you need to remind them, God said he made me from nothing to something, that I am his creation. Don't live in the bondage of what other people think about you, because it can take you, and it can, like it did me for years, trying to live the way other people wanted me to live, and it took away my joy, and it took away my fun. I lived in bondage that almost destroyed my life. But you can't do that. You can't live in that self-rejection, that self-hatred, that unwillingness to forgive yourself. I looked up self-rejection, and it says, not accepting yourself, always beating yourself up, not happy with the person that God made you, just the way you are. So when you reject yourself, what you're telling God is, I'm not happy with what you've done in my life. I'm not happy with the image that you created. That forgiveness that we have, we hear so much about forgive this one, forgive that one, forgive this one, and you have to forgive. You better forgive or you won't make it to heaven. But we can forgive that, everybody else, but we can't forgive ourselves for our past, the things we've done, the way we've lived, the mistakes that we've made. We're almost letting the past make us ashamed of who we are. But you have to understand that no matter what you've done in the past, and no matter what, how bad you've been and how many mistakes you've done, that God still loves you. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves you. Don't let that image take you in bondage. Don't be so hard on yourself. Quit beating yourself up, ladies, young girls. Quit beating yourself up. You're not a nobody. You're not worthless. And the low self-esteem, always seeing yourself as a failure. I've seen so many people walk around and you talk to them and they can't look in your eye. Now, I'm bad about that. And especially with men, that's just the way I was, because my dad was an alcoholic, so I had no men figure, So if you see me, if a man comes up to me, I'm like, okay, because that's just the way, I am. I shouldn't say that. But then there's people that can't look you in the eye because it's almost like they feel like they're ashamed, like you can see through their soul. So low self-esteem, quit beating yourself up. God created you in his image. In the image of God, he created you. God made you just the way you are. I love this. You're not here by chance. You're not here just, God said, okay, it's time for you to go. Boom. We were all put here for a certain reason at a certain time. I love it when I hear ministers talk about, we have the same DNA that God has. And what that's saying is you may fall short, and you may sin, and you may mess up at times, but that DNA of God's is rooted firmly, established in you, because you're part of the Most High God, the King, the Creator of the universe. You were made in his image for this time, in this history, And I don't know about you, but when I think about what is going on in the world and how things are coming and falling apart, and I think about here I am now, you know, in this time, and God, there has to be a reason that I'm here. I'm not just here, you know, because this is when my mom and dad decided, okay, let's make Marcia. I doubt that very much so. I think it's like, it was your plan. It's an open book. You know, every day it's written out, okay, she's going to be born now because what was going to happen in this time in history, I need her here. And if you think about it and you look at yourself that way, that you are here for this reason, that God has something specially planned, even if it's to be the mother of your kids. He puts you here for a certain time. I kind of think that there's more to it. I think that we're going to be the ones that are going to be right here when Jesus comes back. I feel that with all my heart. I feel like he knew he would have not put us here, and that makes me feel good. He wouldn't have put us here if he didn't think we can make it and take what's going to be happening in the world, and more important, to be able to do something about it. So you have his DNA. You were put here for a purpose. The Bible says you're no longer condemned. Quit beating yourself up. Romans 8:1. We just got done reading Romans. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Stop letting people beat you up. Romans 8:33-34. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything online for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Whoa. Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for you. Who would dare tangle, woe, with us? Who would dare point a finger at you and say, you'll never make it. Look what she did. Look what they did. Look at them, period. They'll never get married. They'll never have a family. They'll never be happy. God says, who you think you are? You're my masterpiece. I made you. I created you. You're his work. You belong to Christ. He planned it all out in motion. Wow. You will never accomplish what God has for you until you accept that you are his chosen and that he loves you. That song, oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. You've got to accept that. Because he has a plan for you. You're here for a purpose. As I said, you could have been born any other time in history, but God chose you now. And every one of you sitting out here tonight has probably heard God, not maybe with an audible voice, but I know you've heard that unction, and he's telling you something. This is why you're here. This is what I brought you for. This is what I want you to do. This is who I want you to reach, because you're here for a purpose. And then it goes on, the Bible says we are seated with Christ. Wow, how exciting. Can you just think about that? You're seated with Christ. I thought about that, like when you go to a wedding and you're part of the, you know, what is it, bridesmaids and all that stuff, and you get to sit at the bride's table, you're at that special table. I thought, and when we were in the denomination, Carl was on a lot of boards, head of a lot of stuff, and they would have, when they would have banquets and stuff, they had special tables for the special people, I guess you'd call us, and we sat at the head table with the head people. Kind of silly when you think of it, isn't it? But when you think about the scripture that God says we are seated with Christ, we're seated at the head table. That's the table I want to be seated at, not with the big shots, but with the table with Christ. It says, but because of his great love for you, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Because of his great love, you don't have to walk with your head down to the ground, feel unworthy, ashamed of yourself. You are seated with Christ. You are special. He loves you just the way you are. He loves the, I'm not even going to pinch there, but he loves us, what do you call them? I don't know, fat. He loves the freckles. He loves the sunspots. He loves everything about us. He loves his creation. You were made in the image of God. Somewhere, something about me looks a little bit like God. You are no longer condemned. Nobody, how dare anybody point a finger at you? How dare anybody say anything? How dare anybody say anything about the way you look? And you are God's masterpiece. You are seated spiritually. You're seated with Christ because God made you just the way you are. He made you. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he's jealous. Oh, how he just wants you to embrace that. Get past the past. Get past the self-image. Get past the voices. And just love him. And love who he is. I thought so many times, there's so many things that we struggle with women. There's so many things that we go through as women and young girls. And there's so many things that could just be done away with if we just realize he loves us. He loves us. And you just look just like him. So I want everybody in here tonight just to stand to your feet for a minute and close your eyes and just think about that. Just think about how much he loves you. It says, yes, you shaped me first inside and out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Wow. Body and soul, I am made. And I worship an adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made. Bit by bit. I like that. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. You sculptured me from nothing to something. And like an open book, you watched me grow. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. And the days of my life all prepared, even before I lived one day through it all. My eyes are on you, and it is well. That's what we need to say. It is well. I'm okay, God. I'm okay. I may have flaws. I may have problems. I may fall short a little bit. But you love me. You love me. I'm an open book. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. That's what God's saying. It's okay. It is okay. You were born for a purpose right now, right now. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. It's going to be okay. You have His DNA. So tonight, as we all stand here as women, not ashamed, not caring, I'm just going to ask you tonight, how many of you struggle? You struggle with self-image. You struggle with not being who you think you should be. You struggle with failures in your past that you can't forgive yourself for. And you just need to understand tonight that God loves you. You just need to sit down and write a love letter to yourself and know that He loves you. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand because I want to pray for you. No matter what you're struggling tonight, it could be anything. One more question. Is there somebody here tonight that doesn't even know Jesus, that can't even say those words, that can't even ask Him to help? Because the first thing you have to do is know Him. So if there's someone here tonight that don't even know Him, or maybe fell short, or maybe aren't where they're supposed to be, they once knew Him, they once loved Him, but now they're not so sure, I want you to raise your hand tonight. Father God, we love You so much. And I pray for those ladies who raised their hand tonight. I pray that You touch them physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and let them know that Your blood runs through their body. Let them know that You love them. Let them know that You were created in their image, in Your image, God, and that You love them just the way they are. Let them know, God, that You'll always be there. Never to be ashamed of their failures, never to look at theirself, not to listen to those voices that may come against them and tell them that they'll never make it, that they're not pretty enough. God, touch these ladies tonight. And Father, this time and this history and this day, God, stir their hearts, Lord, like they've never been stirred before. There's a harvest, Lord, out there. With lost people, God, You placed us right now at this time, at this moment of time, God, to reach the lost, to help those that are hurting, to instead of being a negative voice, to be a positive voice, that they will know You as their Savior. We love You tonight, Lord. Thank You so much. Thank You, Father. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight.